Wonderful being with you for these past 3 weeks in July. And, you know, I thought maybe some of you would like to know a little bit more about me. How old am I? And I'm not going to tell you, but I'll give you a clue. I am the same age as Bolingbroke, the city of Bolingbroke. Now, don't look up on your smartphones right now how old Bolingbroke is. I tend to look younger than my actual age. But anyway, that's just kind of interesting. Another interesting thing about me is something that I like to do for fun. I mean, this really charges me. And I did it this past week. I will share it with you at risk of all of you being jealous of me. All right? I walked through old growth forest this week. Is anybody else? So Hartwick Pine State Park is 2 hours north of Grand Rapids in Michigan, and it has a section of trees that were never touched by the logging industry, and I walked among pine trees that were over 300 years old. I mean, it was cool. I brought my son with me, and he is a good trooper. He likes to go camping. Do you know why? I sweeten the deal. I go, your mom's not with you. You can play with fire and knives. He's like, I am there. And anyway, we had a great time hiking around Hartwick Pine State Park. And so anyway, this is what I got to do this past week. But I'm very glad to be here with you today. And this is a message that God has challenged me on. And I just think it's a really important message for all of us. The biblical truths that I share with you this morning, most of you have heard before. But what I'm going to do is frame these truths with the idea of giving up control. And these truths are fundamental to Christian living. I mean, they're basic stuff. You got to have it. Like, you know, when you buy a car, you know, there's the base package. And then there's like the sports package. You know, you got the sunroof. Okay, these truths are not the sunroof in the kingdom of God. Okay, this is the stuff under the hood in the kingdom of God. Really important. And also, I'd like to say in the outset that giving up control does not mean work less or you don't have to work hard. We do need to work hard. We need to be faithful with our responsibilities and put great focus and effort into what we do in life. That being said, we are weak, and I think all of us in this room can identify with this, that past hurts, present stress, and future worry can easily control us and at times even cripple us. And so as I go through this message today, be thinking about what you need to let go of. The theme of the message is give up control. Let go. In other words, through Jesus, let go and let God. Through Jesus, He moves us. It's a journey. And Jesus moves us from sinfulness to purity, from stress to peace, and from success, the world's view of success, to purpose. Those are the 3 points. So let's begin with from sinfulness to purity. Now the scripture passage is from Matthew 6, and it starts out with the Lord's Prayer. And so I thought this would be kind of, well, this would be worshipful. If you all could look for a Bible and turn to page 811, it's Matthew chapter 6. Maybe you need to share, move around somewhere, find a Bible. And the scripture passage is the Lord's Prayer. So I would like to invite all of us to pray this famous prayer together. And so we're all on the same page. We can use the text here. So it's Matthew 6, verse 9, or page 811. And it's we're not going to start at the bottom there. We'll just start at our Father right here, okay? And I invite you to join with me as we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we can add the ending part there. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. That little ending part is in the footnote. That's a longer story. You can investigate that sometime. Now, the Lord's Prayer, obviously much to be said about this. I just want to make one point. After the Lord's Prayer, Jesus picks one phrase to highlight and to emphasize. Interesting. One phrase that Jesus highlights. And so we look at verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses or their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus picks up on that line, as we have forgiven our debtors in the Lord's Prayer, and he adds to it. He says, this is really important for your life. And if you don't get this, there's a hindrance in your life, in your walk with God. There is a lack of purity. Now, I have a friend, we'll call him Joe. And Joe had a turbulent marriage. In the midst of the conflict, Joe had a complete life change, and he committed his life to Jesus Christ. His wife did not. He continued to struggle. He did some things better, but to be honest, he was still new at this following Jesus thing, and he did some things that were not good. And unfortunately, his marriage ended in a divorce. Sometime later, I was talking to Joe and said, how's it going? And he goes, it is not going well. Actually, at work, it's not going well. With my friends, my family, everything is not going well. And I don't know, I just felt led to ask Joe one question. I said, have you forgiven your wife, your ex-wife? Have you forgiven her? And he kind of stopped and looked at me. And Joe's the kind of guy that's going to shoot straight. He's not going to sugarcoat things or, you know, he shoots straight. So he said, you know what? I can't forgive her. She has caused too much pain in my life, and she currently causes too much pain right now. No, I have not forgiven her. I can't. And I said to him, I said, I don't want to make this sound trite, but I just encourage you to really pray and think about this, because God's will for you is to move in the direction that you come to a place of forgiveness, of forgiving her. And we need to have a follow-up to that conversation. I'm not exactly sure where he's at right now. I remember a woman that I knew in a church I was at in Colorado, and she shared with me about past hurt from her dad while growing up, and it was still just dragging down her life. And I will never forget that Sunday when, after the service, she came up with a smile, with lightness, with joy, and she said, I can't explain it, but in the service today, I forgave my dad. I released him. I let go. I let it go to God. And God has brought me to a new place of freedom in him. I won't go into all the details, but years ago, my son had a surgery, and the surgeon made a mistake. Fairly significant mistake. And I remember struggling myself with the surgery. And he never really admitted it either. Really? Come on. And I remember struggling with it myself. And I remember one night my son was in bed sleeping. And I went into his room and just sat on the floor and just spent time just praying for my son and actually for my heart. And God graciously brought me to a place of forgiveness. You see, we will never move towards purity when we do not forgive others. I'm not talking right now about sin you struggle with, although that's an issue and we need to deal with it. I'm talking specifically about people that have sinned against you. And for those people that have sinned against you, God is calling you to move to a place of a pure attitude towards them. And the only way you can do that is through forgiveness. Our sin is deep. God's grace is more powerful. And if you really get forgiveness through Jesus Christ, if you really get the grace of God, then our response is, I forgive. And when we forgive, God moves us from a place of sinfulness to purity. Second, from stress to peace. From stress to peace. Still in this famous talk of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to read Matthew 6, 31, and then following. Therefore, do not be anxious, or do not worry, or do not be stressed, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Now, it can be stressful living with unforgiveness, and it can be stressful trying to seek success. That's the next point. In this point, I'd like us to focus on worry and stress over money and possessions and over the future and relationships. And this is a very easy place for us to stress out. We are tempted to take matters into our own hands. We are tempted to take control of the situation. And what is Jesus saying in this passage? Jesus is not saying, don't be concerned. There are all sorts of things in life. Yes, we need to be concerned about this. We need to work hard. We need to, in a sense, try to control the situation to solve the problem. Yes. However, worry, stress can become dominant in our lives. It can become the priority. And when worry or stress becomes the priority, it takes our energy away from seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus says, don't worry, don't stress, let go, trust me, and then you can spend your energy seeking first the kingdom of God. I know a couple that live around here, but they have a bed and breakfast in Honduras. And I went to visit them 2 summers ago. Tim and Nan Lurup, their names. And they really have a sense of ministry there. They've connected with the church. They allow the church to use this bed and breakfast. They want to serve. And when I was there, I was just amazed at how many things broke. Tim said to me, I don't know what it is. I think they send all of the reject factory stuff from the U.S. to Honduras and sell it as good. It's kind of weird. But they said to me, God is teaching us that our possessions are ultimately, they're not ours to hold on to. We have them, we use them, but they're God's, and we just can't stress about it. And so often, we stress over things that we simply cannot control, and the stress begins to consume us and eat at us, hold us back from doing God's work. It also holds us back from peace in our lives. One other little story. 2 weeks ago, I did a memorial service, a funeral for a former teacher of Timothy Christian, where I teach. She was only in her upper 60s, which is kind of young. She had struggled with cancer and had passed away. I was thinking about her life, and she was married and a mom, and then she got cancer in the 90s and got through that time. And then was cancer-free for many years. Then it returned, and she continued to teach while taking chemo, which is like, how do you do this? She did. And she lived for many years and finally passed away. And I was thinking, this is a big example, but cancer leaves this whole idea of future in limbo. I mean, what is the future? I don't know. How long? I don't know. And it's a roller coaster. You know, as I've walked alongside people that have struggled with this, you get good news and then bad news. You get a glimmer of hope, and then it doesn't look so good. It's up and down and up and down. Such stress. Now, that's a big example. And on a daily basis, all of us live with little examples as well. And what is worry and stress? It is holding on to things we cannot control. And Jesus lovingly says, just let go of it. Seek first my kingdom. I'll take care of those things. And may your peace be in my life. Years ago, I worked in Grand Teton National Park. I washed pots and pans in Wyoming, preached on Sundays. But during the week, it was rather stressful washing pots and pans. The kitchen was busy. Cooks needed their stuff right now. They would swear at you if you weren't going fast enough. Hot water and all of this banging of pots and pans. Well, one day I wrote out Psalm 23, and I taped it right at the end of the line that we use for washing pots and pans. And the contrast was striking to me. On one side were the cooks and the water and the noise. And then at the end, I saw the line, he leads me beside still waters. Psalm 23 is a truth that is real. And God wants to lead you beside peaceful still waters. But you cannot get there unless you let go. Lastly, from success to purpose. Success to purpose. This is Matthew 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, this is like Jesus' conclusion to his Sermon on the Mount. This is big, okay? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. We are surrounded by a message of success in this world. And it's a message that is dependent upon what you can do. It's dependent on your standard of living or how much money you can make, then you're successful. your personality, how you come across to people, how you look, how you present yourself with your clothes and on social media. All of these ways that the world says, this is success. And then Jesus closes the ending of one of his most famous sermons, and he simply says, do you want to have a successful life? Take me seriously and do what I say. And that is success. Some people in this room are really good at making money, okay? Amen, make more money, all right? And, of course, what you do with that money matters. And if that money grips your heart, this is not good. But some people are going to make more money than other people. Okay, fine. But this is not the foundation of your success. It is simply following Jesus' word. Do you want a successful life? I've got it for you. It is right here. In Joshua 1, Psalm 1, and here in Matthew 7. Follow this book. And it will lead you in a path of purpose and meaning, not just superficial success as the world defines it. For my story, I'd like to illustrate this. I'm not going to use some high-powered business executive. I'm going to use a high school girl. There's this high school girl that I knew, not my daughter. She's not here, but it's not my daughter. She was a sophomore in high school. This was spring semester. She was obviously a full-time student and very conscientious about her grades. She worked really hard. She had a job, and this particular job took up a lot of time after school. And in addition to that, she played club volleyball. And club volleyball took up a lot of time, and there were tournaments every weekend. This girl was busy, and she was tired. And she shared in a paper in class, I so much want to follow Jesus, but to be honest, my faith is flat. And there is no spark. And you know what? I kind of knew what it was. It was she was trying to be successful in too many things. And it was just wearing her out. God does not call us to do everything. Very often, the way you can describe modern Americans, oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy and tired. You know, this is our life. God does not call us to do everything. He calls us to be faithful. Faithful with responsibilities, faithful to his word, and part of that is just knowing when to say, enough is enough, I don't need more added into my life. Because the point here is not that you're successful in the world's eyes. The point is that you live with purpose and meaning according to God's perspective. From success to purpose. So this morning, how is God calling you to let go? And I want you to think very specifically right now. Is there somebody in your life that has hurt you and you have not forgiven them, honestly? This morning, God is calling you to let go. Is there a way in which stress or worry are ruling your life? When you wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden you can't get back to sleep because you're worrying about something, that, my friends, is at the cutting edge of your faith. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying You need to seek God. You need to pray about this. And it may not be like this, but you need to continue to pray and to let go. Or are you running yourself ragged? Or are you being controlled by America's version of success? And you're not just simply accepting God's plan of purpose for your life. So as we close in prayer, I'd like to do a little motion thing here, okay? It's with our hands. And I'm first going to start with silence. And during that silence, I'm going to invite you to squeeze your fists. And I want you to think, what is it? What point in this message is God speaking to you this morning? That lack of forgiveness, the stress, or the yearning for America's view of success? For you, what is it? Think about that during the quiet and hold your hands like this. And then, in prayer, I am going to invite you to open your hands. And this will be a symbolic gesture of hopefully a reality in your heart that God, I want to give this to you. So let's bow and we'll have a few minutes of quiet. And I invite you to hold your hands in a fist and think about how this message has touched your life today. Mighty and omnipotent God, you know the journey that each one of us are on. You know in our hearts the things that are weighing us down, the things that are causing us to lose sleep, to lose life. And in this holy and sacred moment, O God, we now release our stress, our unforgiveness, our attempts to be successful. We release them to you. I invite you now to open your hands. And dear God, we pray that by your Spirit, you would do a good work in our hearts today. We need you, O Lord. We need you. And we pray that our hearts would be pure with forgiveness toward others. We pray for your peace that is beyond human understanding to come and dwell within us. Your peace, O God, we pray for that. And we pray that you would give us new direction in life. And that direction is purpose and meaning for your kingdom. We pray this in the mighty, the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.